Right, welcome back, everyone. Thank you for listening. This is Once Upon a Phrase. I'm your host, Jason.
And your other host, Lisa.
So before we get started, we got to do the normal stuff. I got to remind you to wherever you're listening, Spotify, Apple, on the YouTubes now, rate and review.
Also, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Once Upon a Phrase.
And if you're in the Chicagoland area, specifically the Andersonville neighborhood, you got to check out Fat Chris's Pizza and Such. They've been a longtime sponsor, and
Delicious, delicious pizza.
we've been a longtime eater. So, like I said, if you're in the area, go check them out.
All right, some new things for season two. If you're just tuning in, we are doing bi-weekly episodes. And we also have a new thing that we're doing for this season. It is where you listeners can submit your phrases on Instagram or any other social media platform that you follow us. Or if you know us personally, send us a text message so we can add your listener request to our episodes.
I think today's listener request is a first. It was actually came through Instagram, through a DM, so that's exciting. Normally our listener requests are just our
Ooh.
friends that text us
So this
or
is working?
workers,
Okay.
yeah, co-workers.
Okay,
Yeah, we got our first DM. So basically slide into them DMs. On that note, time to introduce this week's episode on love. Love part two, actually. Season two, part two of love. Depending on when you're listening to this, it could be around Valentine's Day, ish. Now that Lisa's given me this weird look, I'm reminded that we're actually going to release this many weeks after Valentine's Day. So just ignore what I said about Valentine's Day and enjoy the love episode part two.
hopefully you're still in a lovey-dovey mood from Valentine's Day when you're listening to this, maybe.
Sure, I guess that depends on how nice the gifts were.
Yeah.
All right, Lisa, get us started.
All right, so my first phrase is XOXO.
So, I mean, this is hugs and kisses, yes?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're going to explain this because I have no idea how this means hugs and kisses.
So this was pretty interesting. As a family, every year for Valentine's Day, we go to White Castle. It's a fun
Yeah.
little tradition.
Hashtag not a sponsor.
And we were there this past year, and we were sitting there, and our daughter was like, "What is XOXO? Why does it mean hugs and kisses?" And I was like, "I don't know." So actually, this was a request from our daughter as well. She was curious as to why they stand for hugs and kisses.
So we can't technically call this a listener request because as much as I hound her, she is not an active listener. So this just counts as a normal request.
That's true. We gotta get her to listen. But anyways, so I was quite surprised to see that it dates back to medieval times, back in the 1700s.
Wait. Before we move on, that surprised you? We're on our, like, umpteenth episode, and something dating back to the medieval times surprises you?
You know what? Because I thought like XOXO was a more modern, I'm talking about maybe like the early 1900s or something. I didn't think it dated back hundreds of years.
Yeah, after doing this podcast for as long as we've been, I just assume everything is from medieval times or ancient Greece.
All right, so let's start with the X, right? So when people were illiterate, they couldn't write. They would just sign things with an X. And then sometimes they would sign or use, I can't think of that thing. Is it the not red ink, but you know like the old
Wax,
time
like
the
a
okay, the
wax
wax
seal?
or yeah.
Yeah, ooh,
So they
that's
would
real fancy.
seal it with that and with an X, right? Sometimes the X was to represent a cross. So, like Christians would do that to sign documents in good faith, sincerity.
Okay.
And literally, sometimes they would seal it with a kiss.
Oh, okay, so I'm again taking this very literal, so they would, hit it with the wax and the X and then seal it with a kiss, especially if it's a love letter or a letter home or, to somebody who's gone away. Okay, so I like that. But then where does the O come in?
So there was a few different possibilities for the O, not as clear as for the X. For the O, it meant to resemble two people hugging, like in unison, like holding each other.
Okay, so hearing you say that actually makes sense, but up until those words came out of your mouth, I would have had it the opposite way. For some reason, X to me kind of looks like two people hugging, you know, like because you cross two arms and
Yeah,
two
I could see
arms and
that.
you cross.
But you don't cross, you join.
No, I mean,
I guess, okay, so I guess the way guys give hugs, maybe you're crossing. But if, like, you're.
oh yeah, I see what you think. Yeah, I go, you know, one hand above the shoulder, one
Yes,
hand under the
right.
armpit. So yeah, that's like a where I guess girls, you guys go two hands above, two hands below.
Or just two hands across.
Yeah.
If you could see this right now,
Guys, we got to get this
we're.
on YouTube. Me and Lisa are air hugging each other across our microphones. Yeah, okay, so I'm a guy. I go diagonally. I go one arm above, one arm. That's why I always thought X stood
Right.
for
No, I
hugging.
just go like this, like straight
Somebody
across.
please comment on the Instagrams and how do you hug? Are you, 'cause
I would
me
love to
and Lisa.
hear this. So, ladies and gentlemen, do you hug like one hand up and one hand down? Or do you hug just straight across, like you go for someone's waist or chest area?
Okay. Well, so not only that, but I assumed that the O was kisses, like, because that's the shape your mouth
Right.
makes.
No, I that makes sense. The hugging part for
H
the
the
X.
hugging part makes sense too. Guys, come on, back me up on.
I don't know
Okay.
about that. Okay, so another possible.
But really, hearing your the sign it with an X and then the ho re the O resembles the ho. Oh, you're gonna hear this because we don't edit that stuff out. Yeah, so hearing the actual explanation also makes sense. The
Right.
X, I get that, and the O makes sense with the people hugging.
So another possible origin of the O meaning hugs doesn't really correlate to a hug, but it's another reason why that letter was being used. So it was a possible possibility that illiterate Jewish people, when they were signing documents, because they were against Christianity, right? That wasn't their thing. They would sign it with an O to kind of go against the Christians that were signing things with the X. That one doesn't fly with me
No.
as much, but I think it was just up there to kind of show the contrast of why one letter over the other.
Sure. And I think a lot of things, you know, they feel the need to fall back into some sort of religious meaning, but
Right.
I don't know that I buy into that one. It's just, I cannot see an entire, you know, an entire race of people using O just to be a contrarian to the Christians.
Right. So that, like I said, that's why I think the O representing people can join, like joining arms, kind of seems more realistic.
Yeah, especially when paired up with the reason, you know, X means kisses because that's how you would sign a letter and then seal it with a kiss.
And just like with all of our phrases, it kind of gained momentum in the 1960s when someone wrote a letter in the Tribune where they signed it with XOXOXO, hugs and kisses. So that's kind of where it became more popular mainstream wise, I guess.
Isn't it wild how much we can accredit to, and we, I mean, we say mainstream media, but especially during this time, we're talking about newspapers and in books, you know, when they're appeared in a newspaper or a book for the first time, they really picked up. And those are two things that, I mean, I don't even know who still reads newspapers. So it's.
I mean, I feel like people read them now, but I feel like they're in a digital form. Like people will go on to
Oh, yeah, they'll read
the
articles
websites,
online,
yeah,
sure, but.
from the newspaper, but now it's like a paper newspaper. A cool little fact I did find out in the UK, it is common to sign things with XX.
Hell yeah, them Europeans, they like it. They like it dirty. Just all kisses, no
No,
hugs. Oh,
yeah.
no?
So, well, yes, I
Oh, you
was.
said XX, all kisses, no hugs.
Yes. So, okay, but it's not as common of a thing that's used in the
Hey, I'm
US.
into that.
Another thing that I found was interesting is another way that X's and O's are used is a game of tic-tac-toe. So tic-tac-toe before it was done on paper. It was done like, you know, in the sand or on the ground, essentially, in the dirt. So when it be finally became done on paper, it was said that they used the X's and O's because they were the simplest letters for people who were illiterate to be able to just use as markers for the game. So.
Yeah, and we touched a little bit about that on the last podcast. What was it? The animals part two? Talk about the cats game.
Yeah.
So
just simple things to write for people who then didn't know how to write that they can use as markers for the game.
Okay, I'll buy it.
All right, what do you got for us?
So my love word is crush. So when you have a crush on somebody, Lisa, who do you have a crush on?
I have no idea. Maybe the man I'm sitting across from. Who knows?
Yeah, it better be. No, so this one has always kind of made me wonder because we've all had crushes.
That's all. As a fourth grade teacher, that's all I hear.
Yeah, I'm a middle school teacher. I get it worse, and our daughter's in high school, and those crushes seem to be the the loves of their life. But even as adults, we get crushes. But that word has always stuck with me because obviously we know to crush on somebody means, you know, to like them,
right,
or have feelings for them.
But like crush in general is a word that kind of seems like when you crush something, it seems
the negative connotation,
yes,
right? So that made me wonder, why do we say we have a crush on somebody when we actually have romantic feelings for someone? And it goes back to sort of its root word. It's an old French word.
I want to hear you try to pronounce this one.
Corsair. Maybe I should try that. Corsair. Whatever.
If any of you speak French, please let us know if you did a good job with that one or not.
I'm sure I did. I could just simply Google the pronunciation, but I chose to do it the old-fashioned way. So this means to break or to bruise, right? And originally, you know, when we talk about crushing on somebody, it referred to the act of, like, physically pressing, squeezing, you know, with force, right, to destroy something. So where's the connection here, right? It's that feeling you get. It's metaphorically used. When you are crushing on somebody, you feel it in you, you know?
Your insides feel different.
Yeah.
But I feel like you get more like butterflies, your stomach starts to do flips.
Your heart feels compressed. Like, it feels like something's weighing on you. It's all you think about. It's all.
Okay.
So the word crush, even though we see it as more negative, like to physically destroy something, it's talking about that feeling you get on the inside, that intense infatuation, that admiration, that excitement, that nervousness, that longing for somebody. It takes its toll on you on the inside. And that's what feels like it's being crushed. And again, not negatively to like destroy, but definitely in a way where you can feel it pressing or squeezing your heart.
It like overwhelms you, because a lot of times,
yes, I like that. Overwhelms.
When you have a crush, speaking from experience with our teenage daughter and everything else and my students, it seems to be the only thing, like, you got blinders on. That's the only thing you could think about, only thing that you feel at that moment. And I feel especially, I think the word crush comes to mind when you find out for whatever reason from a friend that crush that you have may not like you back. And that's, I think, where like that whole bruising feeling comes in, where it hurts you. Like, it does hurt.
Absolutely. Or maybe, especially if you're crushing on somebody, they don't know. Typically, crushes are secret.
Yes.
And that hurts too, having those feelings, that affection for somebody.
And them not knowing. Yeah.
Yeah, and you not being able to tell them, or you being too shy or too scared, or, you know, for whatever reason. So once I, you know, did a little digging on this, I was pleasantly surprised, because it's hard to put words to a feeling. A negative word, but the feeling isn't negative. Now, it can be negative, like you said, if you find out they don't reciprocate those feelings, you know, you do feel like you've been crushed. But to crush on somebody, it's the feeling that they give you on the inside. And I was just,
I think it's crazy that such a one word that we use to describe something has such a deep,
powerful,
like, yeah,
right? Yeah. All right, Lisa, talk to us about me.
Well, speaking of which, my phrase is better half.
That's what I said, right?
So, for those of us listening, it means spouse. But it originally had meant like the largest portion of the half, like the larger of the half, or an individual soul.
Okay.
So that was kind of weird. This one dates back to Greek mythology.
Nailed it. Called it at the top of the show. Medieval times, Greek mythology.
According to them, when humans were created, they had both female and male attributes. But because the gods did not want them to be too powerful, so to punish them, they split them in half.
To, like, limit them?
Yes.
So this makes me think of the Prometheus, you know, basically, he's the one that stole the fire from the sun and gave it to the people, and then the gods punished him. So we see that as a reoccurring theme in, like, anything that has Greek mythology roots, where the gods are essentially trying to punish the people or withhold something. So, you know, it makes sense that they would split a person to limit their power.
Yeah, so I was reading, I'm not very familiar with it, but they said it was described in Plato's Symposium. Are you familiar with this one?
Yes, I read chunks of it back in college.
Okay.
It is interesting. So a symposium is basically like a party, but where you're drinking. And essentially what the symposium is Plato and a few other philosophers are at this, I think it's a dinner party at somebody's house, and they're just discussing love. And each of them gives a speech about their explanation or their version of what love is and what true love is. So to talk about, you know, your better half being your spouse, it makes sense that it would be brought. I don't specifically remember it in the symposium. Maybe I didn't read that junk, but it makes sense that it would be brought up in Plato's symposium.
So what the two things that I kind of took away from this that was interesting is that a lot of times the better half is often referred to, like men refer to their wives as their better half. It's less common for a wife to refer to their husband as their better half. I'm just curious, why do you think that might be?
I know exactly why this
why?
Is. It's just a compliment. I mean, we can agree to call somebody your better half as a compliment.
Right, because usually the better half is known as like the superior half.
Yeah, they're better in whatever ways. They're more caring, loving. Layering was my combinations of the word caring.
Loving and caring?
Yes.
New word, you guys.
Yeah, write it down. We'll put it on next week's episode. The origin is going to be real simple. This podcast. it's as simple as it's just a compliment. And generally, especially, you know, with married couples, after you've been together a long time, you get settled into a few things you say, babe, sweetie, you know, introducing them as my better half. But I think it boils down to just because it's a compliment, those are usually one-sided, and women tend to be the receiver of the compliments, and men are the givers.
So maybe as women, we have to start calling our husbands our better halves and start giving some compliments, maybe.
I mean, I wouldn't be mad. No, but I do just think in general, it's just one of those accepted things that more often than not, it's the men giving the compliments, so... That's probably why
I definitely think if I had to be given a compliment, I'd rather hear a better half than some of the other compliments that men give their spouses, like my old lady, my old ball and chain.
First off, that's a direct shot at me because I do call Lisa my old lady.
No, you don't.
Maybe not to your face, but.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Now I know what you call me when you're around the guys.
Not
okay.
Old lady, though. Old lady. It's a biker thing. Hey, I ride a motorcycle. I can say that.
But I'm not an old lady.
I didn't call you an old lady.
So
O-L? O-L apostrophe.
Okay, so what does that mean then?
Well, you'll have to put it on the list and we can talk about it on the next episode.
I think maybe you need to because you call me that. So you figure out why you call me that. Yeah. Better have a compliment attached to it.
Ball and chain you brought up. That's negative. That was actually, we did an episode.
Yeah, someone like drags you down.
Yeah, it was, that's negative. Old lady, better half. I don't know. I think those are on the other side of the line.
I'd rather be called your better half. So let's leave the old lady out of it. Unless you find some way that it's complimenting.
Old lady. I'm not calling you an old lady.
But why O-L?
People don't want to listen to us argue on this podcast. Okay. All right.
That's your homework. Figure out what it means. Okay. What do you have for us?
Star-crossed lovers.
That sounds like very cliche.
Oh, it's very cliche.
Like a very cliche thing to say about somebody.
Yeah, it's an...
Or, you know, a group or a partnership.
Yeah, it's epic. So, star-crossed lovers. Do you know what it means or if you had to guess?
Like destined to be together?
So that was my original thought too, right? They're destined to be together.
Yeah.
It's written in the stars.
That's kind of where I'm going with it, yeah.
Yeah, we're ignoring the words crossed. So, you know, we already talked about this, right? Once the media gets a hold of it, well, this goes back to the OG, William Shakespeare, right? When he writes something, I mean, that might as well be written in stone, if you believe he actually wrote it. But I guess that's a conversation for another podcast. But he writes about star-crossed lovers in Romeo and Juliet, who by definition are star-crossed lovers. So I'm going to read you the line because I actually remember reading this, and I don't remember this actual phrase, but I do remember this scene. From forth the fatal loins of these two foes, a pair of star-crossed lovers take their life, whose misadventured piteous overthrows do with their death bury their parents' strife. So do you know the story of Romeo and Juliet? The okay.
Yes.
So I'm talking to Lisa. I assume if you know the story of Romeo and Juliet and you're listening, you probably remember this scene. But essentially, star-crossed here refers to their destinies. Romeo and Juliet, their influence or their outcome is dictated by the stars, in an ill-fated, like they're doomed from the get kind of way. They have cosmic forces working against them. Their tragic end, so, you know, spoiler alert, they die, right? Their tragic end is predetermined, right? There are things that they can't control, forces beyond, you know, what can be, you know, taken on. They were doomed from the get-go, right? And then, you know, ultimately that leads to their demise. And the phrase now has become synonymous with that exact thing. A couple who is doomed from the get-go, whether it's, you know, one works too much or the parents don't like each other, or some cases different religions or different races, or maybe they live in different cities. There's something external that they cannot control that is going to lead to their tragic fate. Now, again, maybe not always death like Romeo and
Just
Juliet.
like breaking up, divorce, things of that sort, yeah.
Yeah, so I think when we hear it, we get all glitz and glamored
I
by
do.
star and lovers. But to be star-crossed is what we're focusing on. Their stars are cosmically destined for failure, and they just can't control it.
I don't know why, but just you talking about it or kind of makes me think that for those who are big on like zodiac signs, I know people who will, like, when they meet someone, go on a date, they'll ask them what their zodiac sign is. And for them, they feel like for some reason that their fate is determined by their compatibility based on like a zodiac sign. So, kind of like,
Yeah, that's one of those things I've never understood. I
neither do
just,
I, but I mean, for some people, it makes sense to
the
them, but.
month you're born in does not dictate your personality. But I know, like you were saying, those same people, they believe strongly in it. So, you know, who knows? I believe one thing, they believe another. Shakespeare believes if you're star-crossed, you're gonna fail. All right, well, how about this listener request? So, as I mentioned, this was actually sent to us in a DM on Instagram. It was the first DM we've gotten. And Lisa, why don't you do this one for us?
So this one is mad as a hatter. Have
Yeah,
you?
so yeah, I assume this is Alice in Wonderland, like Mad Hatter.
No, it dates back before then,
Oh,
which
this
I
has nothing to.
it does, and you'll it yes and no.
Okay,
So
now I'm listening.
mad as a hatter refers to someone who behaves like erratically
Like the Mad Hatter.
or like yes. So it is actually called Mad Hatter's disease, right? So someone who's like really behaving really irrationally or very eccentrically. So it's not always such a negative thing, but usually kind of strange acting. So this actually dates back to when hat makers, known as hatters,
Very creative.
were making hats. They would use mercury to treat the fur and like the felt for the hats.
Oh, and mercury will mess you up.
And for what we know about history is that it wasn't a lot of ventilation, a lot of space in these places they were doing this. So it was a very small, closed spaces. So a lot of times they were sitting there for hours on end inhaling the mercury and essentially getting mercury poisoning.
Yeah, slowly but surely getting poisoned.
So, for those of you who hopefully have never had mercury poisoning can cause irritability. It can cause tremors.
Things that'll make you act eccentric and
Right.
weird.
Yes.
Oh, so first thing I want to point out is I always assumed that this phrase came from Alice in Wonderland, but it appears that the character, Mad Hatter, was named after
Yes.
this
So
disease that
that's
had
what that was
already
that that was
existed.
really cool.
Oh.
They've moved, like, I couldn't get the exact names, but they have moved away from this form of treating.
Well, yeah, because they can't use mercury on these
Well,
things anymore.
they've stopped using mercury in a lot of things now
All
because of
things. What was it? Thermometers? Thermometers used to be made out of
they're
mercury,
not
right?
anymore. Not the old ones are still, right? I mean,
The
obviously.
old ones, yeah. I assume that they're not in circulation or they're hopefully being replaced.
But I thought that was really interesting because so now when I see Alice in Wonderland and think of the Mad Hatter, I think of things a little bit differently as to where they got the idea for that character, like in terms of his behavior.
Yeah, like I said, that's cool that they named that after this disease as opposed to
I'm
the other way.
sad that it that people were dealing with this disease. Like, that was
You know
awful.
what I'm sad about? Hatter's got the shaft on this name. Like, if you make hats, you're a hatter. Like, they couldn't get any more. Do you know what you're called if you make or repair shoes?
I can't think of the name, but it's on the tip of my tongue.
Cobbler. That's just a funner name. You know what I mean? Like,
A more fun name or a funner?
what did I say?
You said a funner name.
Oh,
It's
yeah.
more fun, right?
Probably. We probably
We're
shouldn't.
just working on comparative and superlative adjectives in fourth grade right now, so we should, I think it's more fun, but I could be wrong.
No, I'm pretty sure you're right. I probably shouldn't co-host a podcast on language if I say things like funner.
Or layering?
Laring. Laring's real. No, but it's they could have done better. Like, okay, cobbler, you know, if you're gonna make hats, they should have came up with a
I
better
definitely
name.
didn't think it would have this origin that it has to do with the inhaling the mercury.
And once again, this phrase would probably be dead in the water if it weren't for Alice in Wonderland and the books and the movies and the spin-offs and the this's and the that's. Like, that one, you know, piece of fiction has single-handedly carried this phrase for
Yeah.
generations, which I think
Because we
is.
know the Mad Hatter is being a very eccentric character.
Oh yeah, I see the cartoon version in my head,
Yeah.
but then I also see the Johnny Depp version. Was he the Mad Hatter? Okay,
Yes.
then yeah. So
Yeah.
again, weird and eccentric, you know, kind of the characters he likes to play. Ooh, okay, that was a fun one. Yeah, keep sending them. Again, if you don't want to comment on the post, you can always DM us, or text us or whatever. But I'm glad that one came in. Well, on that note, thank you for listening. And please remember, wherever you're listening, rate and review the show.
Also, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Once Upon a Phrase.
And if you are in the Chicagoland area, Fat Chris's Pizza and such, they have to be your next stop. On
All
that,
right, until next time.
bye everyone.
Bye.